T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Things winding down for the day down in Texas at the match play on the PGA Tour. Still some big names alive. Sam Burns beat Mackenzie Hughes 3-2. Scottie Scheffler beat Jason Day 2-1. Rory McIlroy finished up Xander Schauffele 1-up. And Cameron Young leads Kurt Kitayama 1-up through 17 down there in Texas. And, you know, that's certainly good. With those big names still alive, with the likes of Scheffler and McIlroy playing into the semifinals. Loons get home tonight. Allianz Field, Vancouver in town, but they will be shorthanded. Andy Greeter joins us from the Pioneer Press on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And Andy, you've talked about this before. You warned Loons fans that this will be difficult with so many players away on international duties.
Yeah, so Minnesota United has 7 key players, from starting goalkeeper Dane St. Clair to playmaking midfielder Robin Lud, and 5 others away with their national teams during this FIFA international window. So usually how it works, for those that aren't aware, the top leagues in the world will pause during international breaks and will kind of wait for their best players to come back. But MLS is not doing that. And they have in the past been able to allow teams like Minnesota that have a lot of internationals to take a preference and play more midweek games outside of windows. But that's not possible here this season because MLS and Liga MX in Mexico are playing a tournament in July that condenses the schedule outside of that. And they have to play through these international windows. And so fans are going to be seeing a product that is less than Minnesota's best. And that's on top of Emmanuel Reynoso, not with the team still. He's still holding out in Argentina. So you're talking about 8 starters on a team that is off to a really good start and now has on a game given all the absences.
Andy Greeter joining us from the Pioneer Press on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. They did sign a young player from Korea, but he is not available for duty.
Yeah, Sangbae Jung is a 20-year-old South Korean, like you mentioned, an attacking player who Minnesota paid Wolverhampton Wanderers in English Premier League a transfer fee of $2.6 million to bring in to Minnesota. And as it works in the international game, you have to get work visas in order to be eligible to play. And Sangbin is working on that, and it sounds like he's going to go to Canada to get his passport stamped and get a work visa and be all set to go likely next Saturday at St. Louis. So, yeah, they were able to announce the signing, had a big formal press conference at Allianz Field midweek, and he spoke highly of his opportunity here in Minnesota to be a role model for South Korean players, and he set a big goal of scoring 10 goals and having 10 assists, and that is some rarefied air in Major League Soccer. Only 6 people did that a year ago, including Reynoso. So he's setting the bar mighty high for himself. You like to see that confidence. But I think Loons fans are eager to see what Sungbin Jung is able to do as he gets eligible here next month.
Yeah, and tonight, Allianz Field on the Midway. It won't be particularly warm, but I think it'll be pleasant for the match tonight.
Yeah, I think, you know, all of us in Minnesota are treating this as if it's patio season already.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't think anyone's going to be complaining, especially when you had their home opener a couple of weeks ago and there was inches of snow on the ground and the product wasn't at its best. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Apple has a new TV deal and has very set times for games. And Minnesota is going to be playing at 7:30 for the overwhelming majority of their games here this year. And I just think it's too bad, because a great Bluebird day like today, it'd be fun to have everybody outside in the sun, probably in shorts and T-shirts for some of them. But even in the summer, you know, I think you know, matinees are a great time to be outside in Minnesota. And too many times here in the MLS season, given the new media rights deal with Apple, they're going to be playing night games.
Yeah, and I've heard some complaints. Andy, I'm sure you hear a ton from Loons fans. What's the reaction so far to that new deal?
You know what? So they've had three games so far this season, and two of them were kind of outside of the MLS season pass that you have to pay a subscription fee for. So two of the games have been outside of that kind of paywall. So I think that's intriguing for fans to have an opportunity to see it. Today is behind the paywall. You know, I think from a technical standpoint, it's been pretty good. You know, they have kind of a whip around show to kind of have everybody on the same page in the action during that day. I think that's been a nice addition with way things are going. You know, they have had the same stable of broadcasters. So for the home opener, Kendra D. St. Aubin, who was the Loons' longtime color commentator, she did that game with her new partner, Kevin Egan. Callum Williams, who was next to Kendra for 6 years, he's calling tonight's game with his new partner, Kalen Carr. So there are familiar voices out there. Yeah. You know, when they went to Colorado last week, they had Max Bertos and Brian Dunseth, and those two guys have been around the game a long time. So I think you get a little bit of variety while also getting some familiar voices as well.
I also wanted to bring up the overall play of the Loons so far, and it has been a bit of a surprise, considering the Reynoso story is still unresolved. They have been able to get points in all three.
Yeah, so 7 points out of available nine is very good. I think, you know, two road wins, it's very difficult to win on the road in this league. You're more likely to pick up points at home, and that was the 1-1 draw with New York Red Bulls, a game that, you know, they had the lead in that one and came out flat in the second half and gave up a set piece and dropped 2 points at home, which is something you never want to do, especially when you're in a winning position. So, yeah, it's been a quality start. You know, they went to Dallas in the season opener and kind of avenged their first-round playoff loss from last October. So that was a great start against a quality Dallas team. You know, New York Red Bulls is a team that usually makes the playoffs but isn't one of those frontline teams. So that was worthwhile points. And Colorado has been scuffling, so to go there and come from behind and win that game was a nice quality win at altitude, even if Colorado's been struggling. You know, Vancouver is winless in four games, but I think they've played better than what their record shows. They would have three players away for international duty. One of those three is injured, so they're not going unscathed by the international window as well. But, you know, at home, given the fact that Vancouver is winless, you know, with the absences, you know, it's difficult to – if it was a full-strength Minnesota team and a full-strength Vancouver team, I'd say, you know, 3 points are the prerogative. But given how, you know, shorthanded Minnesota is going to be, I think, you know, one, given how it's going, it would be okay. But I think they still probably want three, just given Vancouver's form.
Yeah, and finally, Andy, for casual fans – And I'm curious about this. With so many players away, how do they fill the roster and fill it out? Do they have players in reserve? How does that work for a situation like tonight?
Yeah, good question. So they have, you know, a 30-man roster, and 20 of them dress on any given day. So there's a pool of about 10 guys that are kind of on the fringe of the first team. They'll play with the Loons' second-year developmental team. sure. Primarily. So those guys will be coming up and filling out the bench. But yeah, you're having your backups become starters in a lot of cases. It's an opportunity for a guy like Cam Dunbar, who's a new player who hasn't played yet. He's going to get the start today. It's an opportunity for designated players like Luis Amaria and Mender Garcia, who each have a goal on the year, but have not been wowing fans. It's an opportunity for them to kind of live up to their billing. They're not away with the national team. So yeah, it's an opportunity for a lot of young guys, a lot of up and coming guys that are on the fringe of the first team roster to get a spot on the bench. And if things go their way, they might, you know, either make their debut or be available and kind of experience and rub their shoulders in an MLS environment.
Well, Andy, always good to visit with you. A little Gopher football news earlier in the week. They pick up a signing. It appears to be good news for PJ Fleck and company.
Yeah, you know, they've picked up four recruits in the 2024 class in the month of March. You know, they were able to get one today, Dallas Sims, who's from Canada, who's been playing high school football in Florida. You know, they have had success with Benjamin St. Juice, a Canadian who's now with the Washington Commanders. So I'm sure that was part of the recruiting pitch of, hey, we've taken Canadians, we've developed them, we've put them in the NFL. You know, that's the positive side of the week for Gopher football. The negative side is the transfer portal has been taking more and more from this team. You know, Daylon Wright, who's a very promising wide receiver, he's left the team. I don't think he's entered the transfer portal yet, but I'd imagine that's probably in his plans. Trill Carter, been a mainstay anchor defensive tackle for this team for the last couple years. He was all Big Ten honorable mention. He entered the transfer portal yesterday. So there's been 15 departures since the end of November, and they've added six players. And given that lopsided nature, I'd imagine that, especially defensively, that PJ Fleck and staff will try to add a handful of guys, and the transfer portal opens up here again in May.
Yeah, that is big-time college football and basketball in a nutshell. A lot of turnover every year. Well, Andy, great work. As always, good to visit with you. And once again, he'll have coverage of tonight's Vancouver-Minnesota match in the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right, Andy Greeter, Pioneer Press, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Coming up, the XFL is here, and most fans are like, big deal. Minor league football in the spring, who cares? But the NFL is taking notice with some of the rule changes. Could some of these rule changes be coming to our beloved NFL this fall or in an autumn in the future? We'll get into that in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Football season traditionally in the fall, high school, college, the NFL. The NFL has become a year-round business. We had free agency. We have the draft. And then the countdown to training camp begins. And people can hardly wait for the NFL season to begin in the fall, it seems. I'll wait. I don't want to wish summer away. But the XFL is playing spring football. And I think, in reality, our producer is Josh Wheeler. You got to be a hardcore to sit through an XFL game. I mean, I've run across it. I don't spend a lot of time on it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you've got to really want to watch football to sit through that. But that's me.
XFL is great to have when you're vacuuming or cleaning. It's nice. It's nice background noise for sure.
If there's nothing else on the whole game,
no, thank you.
Yeah, but there's been this trend lately to talk about some of the things the XFL has done to innovate, particularly rule changes, and could they be coming to the NFL? And there are a number of sites that have, you know, laid this out. What's the XFL rule? What's the NFL doing? Could some of this make sense? The one that stands out to me is the kickoff rule. Now, the NFL rule, as we know, kicking teams line up on the 35-yard line, eight members of the return team within 15 yards, no double-team blocks allowed, touchbacks are spotted at the 25-yard line. And typically what teams do is have their kicker booted into the end zone or out of the end zone and you get a touchback. Because what they've tried to do is reduce the high-speed collisions that we saw in the past. And there was a stat that they threw out there that you were five times more likely as a player to get a concussion on a kickoff than you were on a regular offensive or defensive play. So stats have borne that out. So they've changed the rules. And right now the kickoff is like, most of the time it's a touchback. Kind of a boring play. But in the XFL, they've done something. Kicker lines up at his 30-yard line with the other 10 members of the kickoff team lining up at the opponent's 35, 5 yards away from the returning team. Only the kicker and one returner can move until the ball is fielded. Touchbacks are spotted at the 35. So they're discouraging the touchback, but you're also reducing the high-speed collisions because the kickoff coverage and kickoff return teams are lined up so close together. So they can't slam into each other at full speed. And so far, that has paid dividends, that there are more kickoffs and add more action. Because the one thing, and my one knock about NFL games, going to them in person, and I remember this when I went to my first NFL game out at the Old Met. I had a high school buddy whose dad had season tickets, and he didn't want to go late in the year when it was cold. He would go early in the year with his buddies, but late in the year he'd give it to his son, and then his son would drag me along, and we'd tailgate and have fun, and you know, we were young, we didn't care if it was cold out at the Old Met. But the one thing that struck me after growing up watching NFL games on television, and it's not as noticeable, is there is a lot of standing around in an NFL game with all the television timeouts. And I think it's become more pronounced over the years going to games at the Dome and now U.S. Bank Stadium. There is a great deal of standing around. So the thought is, if we can create another situation where there is some excitement and bring the kickoff back into the game. I don't know about you, Josh, but that seems to be like a reasonable innovation to get the kickoff back in the game, but not make it a kamikaze mission.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need to have, you know, what is it, 11? I'm blanking on the number. 11 players from each team.
Yeah, I mean, bulldozing
each other.
Yeah, the kicker, you know, you can't really. So, yeah, to me, that seems reasonable. You've got an onside kick alternative. This is the XFL rule, and I'll throw this one out as well. This is mildly intriguing. After scoring in the fourth quarter, teams have an alternative to kicking off or attempting an onside kick. Instead, they can run one offensive play from their 25-yard line. If they gain 15 yards or more, essentially converting a 4th and 15, they retain the ball. So, to me, that's interesting because in blowout games, this gives clubs an opportunity to come back. Now, I think gamblers would hate it if you know, you have the win, you know, wherever you are on the spread and you're covered, you don't want to see that rule. And I would think, and I don't know how much influence gamblers have in these types of decisions, but if you're a gambler, you don't like that. Because if you've won and you've covered, you don't want that rule. I don't know about you, Josh, but that is intriguing to me as well. Because it would allow teams, hey, we scored, we can try this versus the onside kick. Because how many onside kicks are ever successful?
It's one of the worst strategic parts of football, I feel like. I'm not an onside kick guy. I think it's the odds are ever so close to zero as far as getting it back. And I think an alternative is something every football league can maybe take a peek at, because it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, and that is not a bad idea. So you score, and instead of lining up for an onside kick, and there's another situation where it's just another opportunity for people to get hurt. Because you know how it goes. The ball's got to go 10 yards, and you got people diving and flying around. It just is fraught with peril. But in this case, you score, whatever you do at the extra point, and you need to keep the ball because you're down in the game. You can try that, what amounts to be a 4th-and-15 play from your own 25-yard line. There's a better chance to convert that. And then you still have to go down the field and score. It's not like you're getting the ball at midfield or beyond. So that's kind of a cool rule. But there's been a lot written about what the XFL is doing and what might be coming to the NFL. I'm not sure I'd hold my breath, because the NFL is the most successful sports league in the history of the world. And do they need to change?
My question, I don't know if you've mentioned this part yet, the game clock. What do you think about that differential? I don't know if you saw that one.
That one I didn't read about.
So they, instead of 40 seconds, the XFL is going down to 35, and the title in bold says speeding up the game. Which
on the play clock.
Play
clock.
If you do that, I guess like you're saving maybe 5 minutes. I kind of have to do the math as far as how many plays total are in a game.
But
yeah, it's not much of a difference.
Here's the thing. If it does speed up the game a little bit, but I've never heard anyone say, because most NFL games, you're in for about 3 hours. Barring overtime, it's about a 3-hour time commitment. And I've just never heard anyone say, you know, we got to speed up the game, you know, in the NFL. MLB, they're working on that. But, yeah, if they move the play clock down, I wouldn't have a problem with it. It's kind of like in the NBA, now at the 24-second shot clock. I don't have a problem with it. You don't even really notice it. I mean, because the pace of the game, they've
It's very fast. NBA has gone by, like, has totally hit turbo mode with how they play the game now compared to, like, 10 years ago.
And shot clock is coming to high school hoops here in Minnesota, and it is a good move, because I called some games this year on local cable TV and the streaming service, NSPN.TV, did some state tournament games this morning. Both games were lopsided, and the shot clock would have helped, because then you can't have the team that's up by 12 or 14 just take the air out of the ball.
Yeah.
And that's why a shot clock, you know, creates more opportunities for comebacks. And I've just never been interested in that slow it down, take the air out of the ball. I just don't think it's good for the game, and we won't have to worry about that anymore. All right, 5:33, quick break. We'll come back. Kevin Lynch, Valley Sports North, Timberwolves analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the shot clock coming to high school basketball. He was a big star once upon a time with Bloomington Jefferson, won state titles, went on to the U and the NBA, played in Europe, and now Valley Sports North. We'll get into that following the weather here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. baseball your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Saturday rolling along. 3A Boys Championship game underway. Totino Grace leading De La Salle 19-18. Later Park Center and Wayzata at 8 at Target Center. Men's tournament. Quick check of that. And games don't get started. Let's get back to the games. Sunday, Creighton, San Diego State, Miami, Texas. The doubleheader on CBS. And the games coming up tomorrow, or I should say today, and now the scoreboard's all messed up. Fairleigh Dickinson, they're out. Let's get back. Josh, my scoreboard is completely died. All right, here we go. I think we're locked in on it. No, we're not. This is just a complete disaster.
What a mess. Right. What a mess.
Yeah. Live radio, man. Florida Atlantic leading Kansas State 26-22 in the first. Later, UConn and Gonzaga winners today on to the Final Four. Timberwolves are idle. They open a road trip. They'll take on Golden State and then Sacramento before going into Phoenix. They get the L.A. Lakers at home on Friday night. And to talk Timberwolves and a little more, Kevin Lynch, Valley Sports North, Timberwolves analyst. Kev, how you doing?
Terrible, Steve. Things couldn't be worse. My wife just left me and my dog ran away. So it's rough right now in my world.
Yeah, and I just had the scoreboard lock up.
I know. I heard about that.
Live radio, man.
Tragic.
It's just kinda, yeah, you know, you rely on these computers, and then in the moment of need, they fail you. It's just like, wow. I had it, and then I lost today. I landed on the wrong date, so we're all squared away there. Kev, I wanted to get your thoughts about something, and I brought it up before the bottom of the hour break, and I was thinking about it because I watched a fair amount of high school hoops this winter and called some section games and some state tournament games and was over at Concordia today doing a couple of games this morning, and I'm ready for the shot clock. Now, you played in an era, no shot clock. It's finally coming to high school basketball. Your thoughts on the shot clock. Is it a good thing for high school basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. God, it's been such a hot topic, and it's interesting how it seems like I think North and South Dakota both have it. You tell me. Yep. You used to live in Sioux Falls, but I think South Dakota's got it, don't they, Steve?
Yeah, and, you know, they've added it around the country, and there's been resistance because of the expense. But what I was going to bring up is what I saw this morning. I saw the 1A consolation final and the 1A third place game, and they weren't close games in the second half, and the team with the lead was, you know, taking the air out of the ball, and it's just kind of like, I get it, that's been part of the strategy. But I think ultimately having a shot clock, you know, no one really pays attention anymore to the shot clock in the NBA. I mean, there's an occasional shot clock violation, but I think ultimately it'll be good for the game and good for the players.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think we all remember, I can't remember, when was this, 10, 12 years ago when Hopper, maybe less than that, Hopkins played Shakopee in the quarterfinals of the state tournament. And yeah. It was just a joke, you know. It's like both teams, one team wanted to play a zone defense and kind of a half-court situation. The other team was just airing it out, and it went into a few overtimes. Maybe that was when Amir Coffey ended up making a half-court shot, so there was some dramatics at the end. But there's, you know, people go to high school hoops to be entertained, and that is not entertaining when you have one team just airing it out like that. So that's one way you got to look at it. But I get that it's a strategy for some coaches or some teams too. So, but I think it's time. And, you know, I also understand the whole deal of you got to pay, you know, not every school can afford the clocks and paying somebody who's, to run it, who understands how to do it, and that how that can, if you don't do it correctly or get somebody who's not capable of doing it, how that can affect games and outcomes, which can affect seeding and all that kind of stuff. So it's more complicated than, hey, can we afford it and hook it up and have it running? So There's more to it than just what's on the surface for some people.
Yeah, and Timberwolves, Karl Anthony Towns is back, and I brought this up a couple of times. I don't know if you could have sat down and written a better script for Cat's return. Big win, hitting two free throws, one to tie, one to give the team the lead and get the W, and it came at the right time with Anthony Edwards on the sideline injured.
Yeah, it's boy, there's a there's a lot to talk about with the Wolves, and Towns back now. Hopefully he can stay in the lineup, and finally we can get a you know, kind of resume the whole thing of does Gobert and Towns and that whole issue, do they fit together, and we got to get Edwards back. I'm still convinced, and I'm not just saying, I've told you this before, but and I'm not just saying this because I've covered the team for a long time, but yep. I really believe this is their most talented roster they've ever had. I really do believe that. Now, Towns has been, people say, well, look at their record. How can that be? Or they look at, yeah, but Towns has been out for 4 months, and obviously that's going to affect what's going on. And they have some other issues with D'Angelo Russell, and Russell played okay at times, but other times I thought he kind of hurt them, and now they switched point guards in February at the trade deadline, and now they have Conley, who to me is a better fit for this team than D'Angelo Russell. So they've had some issues going on here, but if they can catch lightning in a bottle here and stay healthy at the end of the season, things can click. They got a chance to make some noise, and I really believe that. Now, who knows whether that's going to happen? They could flame out or something too, but they have enough talent to do something bigger here. So, and I'm looking forward to see how this plays out.
Yeah, were you surprised how much jump, if you will, Cat had in his return? Because, you know, he looked pretty good for being out as long as he was, and, you know, obviously made those free throws, but, you know, there was definitely an energy in his game, and that was pretty surprising.
Yeah, not you know, to be honest with you, not really. I really think that, and I was just thinking about this earlier today, how he, to me, you know, you could debate, but I think he's in the top 15 players in the NBA as far as just, you know, how easy offense comes to. As a scorer, he's a good passer. He's a pretty good offensive rebounder. He's one of the better back-to-the-basket post-up players. Not that guys do that a ton anymore, but he's good at that. I mean, he's a really good scorer, and he scores easily. And a lot of it's set up because he can shoot so well. He's the best outside shooting big man, I think, in the NBA, or at least one of them. So, I mean, for him to go out and just make some jump shots, even though he's been out for 4 months, that doesn't surprise me, because the guy can flat out shoot. So to put up good or decent scoring numbers, even though he's been out for a long time, that didn't really surprise me. So hopefully him being back, get Edwards back, and let's see if this all fits together and they can put a little run together. That'd be fun this spring.
Yeah, no doubt. Eight to go, and there's still a lot in flux. Right now, Dallas out of the playoffs. They're on a skid, and now they've fallen to 11th. So there's going to be a lot of movement over the last eight games. Before we run out of time, I want to get your thoughts, though, on this group. And you brought up the makeup of this team. Cat's back, waiting for Anthony Edwards' return. We really don't know when he'll get back in the lineup. But now they got veteran guys. You brought up Mike Conley, but they have Rudy Gobert, and they have Kyle Anderson, and other guys who have kind of been through the battles at the end of the regular season. And my sense with eight to go, that will help them.
Big time. Oh, 100%. Conley, like I said, better fit than D'Angelo Russell. He's more of an organizing point guard. He can score and shoot a little bit, but he didn't do that as much as Russell is known for, but that's going to, I mean, just kind of the stability that he provides. Plus, Mike Conley can guard point guards. I mean, maybe the biggest, one of the biggest, or maybe the biggest issue with D'Angelo Russell as your point guard is, I don't know if you noticed, he rarely would guard point guards because he can't guard a lot of those guys. So that's a problem. That kind of just distorts what you're doing to a degree. But Conley's veteran leadership, if you want to call it that, that's going to help. Gobert has been through all these wars before. Torian Prince, we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, that's right, Torian Prince.
He's played big in certain moments. He's kind of a And we talk about guys that are veterans. We're not, you know, Conley's played a long time, but Torian Prince is kind of in the prime of his career. Same with Kyle Anderson. So these guys that we call veterans are not necessarily playing 15 or more NBA seasons. They've played, you know, 7, 8, 9 seasons or something like that, and they're in the prime of their career. So, yeah, I mean, they have all the pieces. They got youth. They got young legs in certain positions. They got guys in the prime of their career, whether it's Anderson, Prince, Karl Anthony Towns. You got size. You can play small if you need to. You got enough guys that are kind of lockdown defenders. So they got a lot of good pieces there.
It's going to be very interesting at Golden State tomorrow night, Sacramento on Monday, and then Phoenix on Wednesday, and then the LA Lakers in town on Friday night. So a big week for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, you know, the Lakers are kind of rising, too. You talk about Dallas sinking, and these next few games, I mean, Golden State's got a lot to play for. Sacramento is trying to hold on to that spot, you know, close to the top in the West. Phoenix, they're going to be, I mean, Phoenix, Golden State, and the Clippers are all going to be right there deep in the playoffs, even though they're kind of behind those top three teams. And then the Wolves, so, and then the Lakers are coming, so... I mean, there's a lot of fireworks potentially going on here the next couple of weeks, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah, 8 to go. Well, Kev, always good to visit with you. Take care.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good weekend.
All right, there he is, Kevin Lynch, Bally Sports North, Timberwolves analyst, Timberwolves and Warriors from the Bay Area, pregame at 7 with Cal, Alan Horton with the play-by-play at 7:30. We'll take a quick break. We'll put a wrap on things on this Saturday here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. NCAA hockey, Boston U to the Frozen Four. They beat Cornell 2-1. Underway in Fargo, Minnesota and St. Cloud State, period number one. Gophers lead the Huskies 1-0 in that one. Sports coverage continues tomorrow. The Huddle, Dave Schwartz, Pete Najarian, between 10 and noon, Twin Spring Training. Grapefruit League action. Twins got swept in a split squad tilt with the Atlanta Braves. 9-4 and 9-4. So not a good day for the home nine. Twins tomorrow get the Red Sox as it winds down. Season opener Thursday. Coverage beginning at 2:30. And then, of course, Corey Provis, Dan Gladden with the first of 162. Thursday afternoon, Pablo Lopez against Zach Greinke in the opener. It'll be a Twins day off. On Thursday, debut of the Twins Magazine next Saturday here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Hey, big thanks to all our guests joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dane Mizutani covers Wild for the Pioneer Press. Jess Myers from The Rink Live up in Fargo. Dan Hayes covers the Twins for The Athletic. Kyle Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network. Steve Carney took us outdoors. Andy Greeter covers the Loons for the Pioneer Press, and my good buddy Kevin Lynch from Bally Sports North. And, of course, big thanks to Josh Wheeler, our producer. And first and foremost, he had to put up with me all day today. So there's that. So tip of the cap to Josh Wheeler. Good luck to his Huskies the rest of the way in that one. We've got a run, 45 now here in the city's low tonight, 26. Tomorrow, sunny and 41. Enjoy the remainder of the weekend here on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.